Let's ask him to bless his word here for a few minutes today. Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, that only name under heaven's skies wherein that a man can be saved. We come to you, Lord, and ask you, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon us today as we preach your word, as we break the bread of life, as the truth of your word goes forth. Anointed as you promised by your word. Reach out to wherever they may, whatever country, where they be in their cars or homes, wherever they may be receiving this message this morning, let it touch them and lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. A lot of times I don't title messages. I'm just not a title person to a message. But from time to time, and a lot of time I title them after I preach them because they load them and put them on, and I don't know, some 60, 70,000 times this past year or so that people went to the site and downloaded one of the messages. So I know about 60 or 70, or close to maybe 80,000 people heard one of these messages after the fact. So we give them a title for that reason. But I was thinking this morning, as I always come over here real early. We do two or three live services before this one here. And I was thinking of a title. And you remember the commercial sometime back, "Can You Hear Me Now?" Can you hear me now? So the title of this message today is "Can You Hear Me Now?" And I want to give it a scriptural foundation. You know, a lot of times people preach opinions. You know, opinions is something that everybody's got their opinion. But let's find out what the Word of God says about it. Let's find out if it's rooted on the foundation that's been forevermore settled in heaven, because the Bible said that His Word had been forevermore settled in heaven. It is the law, if you please. Amen. It has been settled. The Bible says in Revelations and chapter 20. No, wait a minute. Let me back. Verse 20 in chapter 3. In Revelations chapter 3 in verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We use that as a salvation scripture, and we use it a lot of time, you know, in gospel tracts, and we use it in messages and use it as a point of salvation. But it's actually not only for the sinner that's not found God, it's also, he was talking to the people of the church. He was talking to people that profess to be Christians. He was talking to people that he wanted to wake up. He wanted to get them alive. So it has a twofold meaning here. And as we look at it, it says, "And behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," then he went on to say, "and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." I say again, can you hear me now? Now the Lord is speaking. He's speaking to the sinner. The Bible says, unless the Spirit of God draweth the man, it's impossible for him to be saved. So God, by his Spirit, he is drawing throughout the world today. He's drawing in every country in this world. He's drawing in the United States. He's sending the gospel out. He's knocking at doors. He's knocking at the door of the backslider. He's knocking at the door of the sinner. He's knocking at the door of anybody and whosoever will. He's knocking at the door. The question is, what are they doing about the knock? What are they doing about the voice they're hearing? And I believe that God, the Bible said, man will be without excuse. I don't believe there's a man, woman, boy, girl that ever lives on the face of this earth can stand before God and say, "I was never told," because I believe the Holy Ghost will do his work. And the work of the Holy Ghost, the agent of God that is going to bring the message of salvation, the Bible said, to every creature under heaven's skies. Paul said, "This gospel which I preach," the same one that Paul preached, this gospel right here, he said this gospel would be preached to every creature under heaven's sky. Then I believe the Bible tells us then the ends are coming. So when this thing is finished up, God will have reached every man out in the highways and the byways, in the mountains. You can go to the forest place. What is that guy, Bin Laden? He went up there and hid and they can't find him. Well, God, the Holy Ghost, knows where he's at, because the Holy Ghost has already been there and God's already spoke to him, already convicted his heart. He's just not hearing. We have, I believe, every president that's ever been elected to this country, God has spoke to and tried to give them directions. But as a whole, most of them don't listen. They listen to lobbyists. They listen to people that write checks and put it in some bank in a foreign country. We had a governor not too many years ago that took two bribes, $250,000 apiece, and they asked him, did he think there was anything wrong with it? He said, no. He said, I'd done favors for them people, and I thought they was just rewarding me. Duh. They said he'd be ineligible to run for a dog catcher anymore after that. See, we send people to positions that should be able to function because we pray for them, but they're not listening to the voice of God that's speaking. Billy Graham has been a man that throughout his life that has actually spoke to presidents that has changed the course of time at that moment. Franklin Graham is coming in the footsteps of his daddy, but they barred him from several things that was going on because he uses the name of Jesus Christ. Men does not want to face the fact that they've got to meet a Savior and his name is Jesus Christ. You can make it generic. You can make it generic and say we're just going to pray to God. But when it all said and done, he is the voice that's speaking. He's the one that's knocking at the door. And he's the one, you must hear his voice and you must open up to him. The sinner that's never been saved, this scripture is relevant to him because he or she must acknowledge the call of salvation. To the backslider, and I know we hear a lot of people say, well, people can't backslide. Well, people can't do this and people can't do that. Why did God say he was married to a backslider if a man can't backslide? I mean, that's the dumbest thing I'd ever heard anybody say, is to say that a man cannot backslide. I hear one preacher said, well, they can lose fellowship. Lose fellowship. That's the word they use for lose fellowship. Whichever you want to call it. You can call it being backslid, or you call it being out of fellowship. You can call it anything you want, but simply you're going to have to respond to the voice of God when he speaks. You're going to have to respond to it. I don't care what's going on in your life. You're going to have to respond to the voice of God. Now, I've said this many times and I'll say it again. So many folks have silenced the voice of God in their life. God is speaking, God is there, but they have silenced that voice. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is there heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, the voice of God is present. But if we come to God in our sins, there's a formula. It's like a combination lock. If it says one number, so many turns to the right, so many turns to the left, so many turns back to the right. To get that lock to unlock, you have to follow that combination. To get to God, there is a combination. First of all, a man must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Man must accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the propitiation for sin, the price paid for sin. It's not by the traditions of our Father, it's not by the traditions of the church, but the Bible said it was by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we must accept that formula and acknowledge and come unto God. A man must confess his sins, her sins. A man must be willing to repent and give it all over to God. Then the Bible said there must be first a willing mind in you. You've got to be willing. A lot of folks not getting nowhere with God because they simply not willing. God's a talking, God's a speaking, and they're like a calf. What is that old expression the country folks say? It's like a calf looking at a new gate. You can put up a new gate and the calves will go, listen, all the cows in the field, there'll be 100 of them over there. They'll come over and they'll look at that new gate. What is that thing? They don't understand that new gate. Well, man's the same way. We're just like a calf looking at a new gate a lot of time when God's speaking to us. We're in a rut a lot of time and God's telling us how to get out, but we won't listen to his voice. Can you hear me now? I simply say, can you hear me now? Sometimes on those old cell phones, you have to move and get in a little bit different direction. Amen. You might have to get in another position. You may be behind a rock or behind a mountain. You may be behind something. I've a lot of time been inside the warehouse back here with steel beams and get a call, and I'd have to go outside to get it in our radio station. If you get in the control room, a cell phone, you can't pick nothing up. You have to go out and get some clear air. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks need to get some clear air. They need to get some clear air. They need to get to a place where they can hear the voice of God. And when God begins to speak, then do something about it. And I like what Loretta said this morning in her testimony. I'm going to tell you this. No time ever spent waiting on God is ever wasted. And we are all impatient people. We're all impatient. My land, we want it right now. We want dinner and we don't want to wait an hour to get it. We want to zip, pull it out. That's the reason these drive-through restaurants do so good. Everything's got a drive-through on it because we're an instant pudding people today. We want it right now. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of things that we get from God don't come right now. It comes in God's timing. It comes a lot of time when we're willing to hear his voice to receive it. See, because so many things by the word of God comes with a stipulation. See, here, this scripture that we read in 3 and 20 in Revelations, it simply said, if any man hear my voice, then man has to take an action. In that verse of scripture, very simple verse of scripture. We ever been to church more than 3 times, we've heard somebody mention it. Very simple verse of scripture. God, his voice is speaking, but the action must be took on our part. Here are the scriptures, if any man will open the door. We have to open the door, whether it be to healing. We was talking this week. We've got a friend. Kin. It's kin by marriage. A lady that's fighting a battle with cancer, and it was talking about bringing hospice in. There was question about being the lack of faith to bring in hospice. I said it ain't a lack of faith to bring in hospice. I said, my land, somebody's suffering. Get them the best care they can get. Get them the best help they can get. Not a bit of lack of faith. I said, Jesus don't have no problem working over top of hospice. Lazarus had been dead 4 days when he got there. Hospice done packed up and gone, left. Finished their job. He's dead. Why, this man's already almost ready to stink. He's dead. It didn't bother Jesus a bit when he got there. He's, where's Lazarus? Well, he over there, we buried him. He said, tell him, come forth. He said, come forth. Amen. He got up, glory to God, and he had graving clothes on. You know, a lot of times, and I heard your testimony. A lot of times we get saved, but nobody tells us how to take the graving clothes off. We get saved. We love the Lord with all of our heart. We've got saved. We're a candidate for heaven. Our life's been reborn. But a lot of time the church fails to tell us how to get off the graving clothes. First thing Jesus said after he got Lazarus standing up and he was alive, first thing he said to him, said, loose him. Unbind him. Get these graving clothes off of him. We walked in a world that's bound. This world's bound. It's bound by tradition. It's bound by what people say. It's bound by all the things that are in our bloodline. It's bound every way you can turn it. And I tell you something, we have to hear the voice of God and be obedient to the voice of God. And we have to loose those graven clothes. Take them off. Step out from them. Let them fall on the ground. Because we have heard the voice of God. And it's up to us. No, I'm not a very popular preacher in this part of the country. I'm kind of a rock in the shoe of most people. I really am. I'm kind of a rock in their shoe. Because I'm preaching to them something they don't want to receive. I'm going to tell you, being a Christian, we don't have to walk around with a long face. What was that lady said? That little boy asked that woman, said, is that old mule over there a Christian? And the lady said to the little boy, said, why in the world would you ask something like that? Why would you ask, is he a Christian? Well, he's got a long face. See, the world thinks that if you're a Christian, you've got to be an old stick in the mud. You've got to be an old yuckity muck. Amen. But I tell you, by the Spirit of God, when God saves us, he fills our life with joy. When that new birth comes, he puts some joy in our soul. He puts some joy in our heart. I know trials come. I have trials. You have trials. We have battles. We have all kinds of situations that confronts us. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we have took on a new nature. See, we're not saved by our righteousness. This is something that's misunderstood by so many people. They get this thing all confused and mixed up. I told some folks the other day, I said, just being good won't save you. And they looked at me awful strong. I mean, they looked at me awful hard. Is this man speaking against being good? No, I'm not speaking against being good. I'm just telling you goodness don't save us. I'm just telling you doing everything exactly right don't save us. We have to hear that voice of God that's calling and convicting our hearts and convicting our souls, and we have to say, yes, I will open up the door. He simply said, if any man hear my voice and if he will open up the door, he said, I'll come into him. You go to opening the door, you find out. And it goes not only for salvation, it goes on for anything we need from God. It's available. I know there's times, and I thought about, as Loretta said that one thing today about waiting on God. If he's put you in a place where maybe put something on hold for you. And that's hard. When you got a ministry, you got something to do for God, and it's like it's been put on hold for you. And you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. And it's like it's on hold. But simply, if God has promised, if God has spoke to you and he has put into your spirit what he wants you to do, he will fulfill every bit of it. We have to get in connection with his timetable. I'm the most impatient person never been on 2 feet. I wanted God to save all Hillsville the first week I was here. I really did. But most folks in Hillsville don't want true salvation. They want religion. They want to sit on a church pew and go on doing their same old things that they always did because they've never given their heart to God. Because when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you become a born-again creature in Christ Jesus, there's a change takes place. There's a big change takes place. You don't wanna live in the world any longer. The world kind of makes me sick. They have this big thing up here, and I'm hoping we've elected some people that's going to do something about it. But they have this big old beer bash out there in back of the town hall and get drunk and kids running around out there. And I don't know how in the world they allow beer to be sold out in a public thing like that, but they do. But that's what most of the people of this county and town, that's what they want. I was invited to the Ministerial Association. I thought they wanted me to come and preach. They wanted to find out if I was going to put a floor mat of all gospel on the station. They wanted to find out if I was still going to produce the ball games and I was still going to produce all of the car racing and all those things. And I simply said, no, this year there was not finances. Nobody bought enough advertising to pay for some of those events. So if you don't sell enough advertisement to pay for them, then you can't air them. And as I began to turn to my message, the Ministerial Association got up and left all but about two people. They wouldn't even stay for me to preach. And I'd been invited there to speak that day. I realized right then how much people are silencing the voice of God. How much they're going on with what they want to do instead of what God is speaking to them. God, he's speaking, but because of her sin and iniquities. That's what stopped it. That's what stopped it. You can be saved and born again with the Spirit of God, but if you shut off the voice of God, you're going to become a miserable person. You're going to become a person that's not bringing glory. See, I believe when God saves us, he saves us to bring glory to his kingdom. We should be a light of the gospel. We should be a part of the Spirit of God that's drawing men to Christ. They should be able to see Christ in us. We should make a difference. If we can run with the same old crowd that sells the same old joke and drinks the same old liquor, and we can fit right in, I'm going to tell you something. We better go back to the altar. Because we missed something. We missed something. We didn't hear his voice. We didn't hear his voice with accuracy. Because if we hear his voice, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change take place. And there's going to be something going on in our life. I want to cover two or three more verses here. The Word of God goes on and tells us when we look further on the thought. I'm on the thought in the subject, can you hear me now? But I want to kind of finish up the end of this with a thought of his righteousness. When we begin to listen to his voice, God begins to bring us out of the bondages that are in our life. And God begins to bring us to the understanding that it's Christ worketh in us. This bringing about these things. Well, Paul said that he needed to tarry with them until Christ was formed in them. As I said a minute ago, the graven clothes has to come off. They must come off. And Christ, as he tarries within us, as we begin to listen to his voice, as we begin to dress, you know, when I was a younger man, I used to wear a lot of clothes and an old shirt be a little tight on me. I'd wear it anyway. I don't do that anymore. If an old shirt's tight on me and binds me, I tell my wife, give that thing away or get rid of it, make a rag out of it. I'm not going to wear it anymore. I want something that's loose on me that I can move around. Well, when we begin to walk in Christ, we begin to figure out the things that binds us. We begin to figure out the things that keeps us from having the victories that we want. And we begin to lay those things aside. I hear people fighting, fussing, feud over cigarettes and stuff like that. And I tell people, I said, well, they say, well, you know, will smoking a cigarette send you hell? I said, well, no, I don't know where it's going to send you, but I know one thing, it makes you smell like it. Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they got out of the fiery furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. I said, them boys are way ahead of a lot of Christians. Well, see, when we begin to walk in the obedience of God's word and we begin to listen to his voice, we realize that that's a filthiness of the flesh. And we realize that we do not need that, and that does not make a testimony. It does not give us a testimony. I had a man one time, we was visiting a lady's house, and the man was there telling her how that anything about talking in tongues and anything about went on and on and on and telling her and all this stuff. And I just stopped him. I said, wait a minute, sir. I said, what church you go to? He told me where he went. I said, sir, you sucking a cigarette and you sitting there telling me that anybody talks in tongues is of the devil and of the Spirit of God is of the devil. I said, put your cigarette out, dry up your filthiness of the flesh, and then you come back to me and talk to me about it. I was playing with him because he, and do you know that the family, they were happy in church, and do you know that family has had nothing but turmoil and have separated, and I don't think either one of them go to church to this day, because of the ungodliness of that man. He simply hadn't listened to the voice of God. Because if you got something that's a stumbling block to your brother, your sister, and you're listening to the voice of God, you'll change it. You wrong somebody and you listening to the voice of God, you'll go back and you'll fix it. I've had to go back a many times and say to somebody, hey, I'm sorry. I might even thought my own opinion they deserve what I told them. Really? They deserve what I told them. But they become offended. And once they become offended, you couldn't help them. You couldn't do nothing for them. So you had to go back and remove the offense so that you could continue working with them. Bottom line, I want to get people to heaven. I don't want to get up there and look around and say, well, bless God, nobody made it but me. That wouldn't be very good. That's called self-righteousness. And you know what self-righteousness is? It's a stench in the nostrils of God. We've got to be everything we can be to a lost and dying world. We've got to represent Jesus Christ and the message of the truth and of the gospel. And as we listen to that voice, we've got to make sure we rightly divide it with the Word of God. The Bible says, bring every thought that comes into our mind or heart, bring it into subjection with what? The Word of God. Someone comes and tells you something. We got all these cult religions springing up. Somebody said they putting a real large one in over in Independence in Grayson County, putting a real large cult ministries coming in there. People are so vulnerable to fall for this. They fall for it because they are not engulfed in the Word of God. You begin engulfed in the Word of God. When somebody runs something by you, say, wait a minute. Let me check that out by the Word. What verse, what chapter did you say that come from? Because if the Word didn't say it, one guy come in and he said, I need to talk to you a few minutes. I've got a new revelation from God. I said, okay. This revelation, is anything about it in the Bible? He said, no, it's far beyond the Bible. I said, you're done. He said, well, you didn't let me say anything. I said, I'm not going to. I'm not going to let you dump your pollution out in my floor. You can take it somewhere else and dump it, but you ain't dumping it in my floor. Because I don't want to hear your pollution. Because if you've got a revelation, I tell you, I'm scared to death if anybody tells me they got something by a revelation. Because we got the Word of God. Now, if God brings a revelation to you, you can scotch it by the Scripture, verse and chapter. If people say, I got a revelation of the truth, that's good. Is the revelation you got of the truth Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? If it's not, it's not a revelation of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set or make you free. Not some wise tale or not some bear tale. The truth will. But a lot of time, we think that for God to speak, you've got to be a big roar. We think there's got to be a big racket. We think there's got to be, oh, just cannons go off 4th of July or something. But according to the Word of God, here we find in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, we find here the man of God was seeking after the face of God. And it talks about, I won't take the time to go into it, but all the things that took place, the wind, the earthquake, and all these things. But the Lord, the Bible says in verse 11, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. A lot of times it comes as a still, small voice. Several times have asked God to remove me out of this county. God, just let me be somewhere else. The last time I did, he come to me and said, read this plaque that he had had me to get. And when I read it, God illuminated some words on it. He said, stay. And right lately, after 2 years has almost went by from when I read that word stay, and you start thinking, Lord, how long did that word stay me? You know, Lord, how many weeks or months was it? Lord, it's been about 2 years. Is that thing about run out yet? And then he reminded me, I didn't have to go back and read the plaque. He reminded me the last phrase on it. It simply said, I'm going to turn this mountain into a gold mine. He keeps reminding me that. Oh, we in a recession in this part of the country that's beyond words. Something worth $50 won't bring $2. Collectible antiques that used to bring $85, $90 won't bring $3 at an auction. I got shells of valuable antiques sitting back there people walk by every day. Oh, they're pretty. But they won't put no money into them. It's a hard hour. But God said, I will turn your mountain into a gold mine. I just take him into word. Small, still voice. No big fireworks, no crowd of 200 or 300 people. Yeah, that's right. Just a simple, small voice. I walked under the archway back there where Brother Jim, my good friend, standing. God spoke to me. The last thing he spoke to me about the radios, and I've lost over $200,000+ keeping these radio stations on there. Me and my wife has signed notes to that much money or more to keep them on there, and I keep hearing a small voice say, bring it all back here. I had to run between the stations every day. Sometime twice a day I'd run to Florida and have to come back here and then run back to Florida. I've had times that I had to go back at night because I had a breakdown 3 times in one day. 45 minutes over, 45 minutes back. That turns a 12-hour day into an 18-hour day or more. And all God ever said to me, as I walked under that archway back there where it's got that Jesus Save sign, and God said, bring it back here. In the middle of a recession, in the middle of being in the hole, we built a $250,000 studio that cost us about $160,000 or $170,000. In the middle of all that chaos, I've got 4 more payments on that note, and that 150 some thousand will be zilch in the midst of the turmoil. Every time I think about the radio stations, every time I think about it, I just hear that small voice say, bring it back here. I've had the bank a dozen times tell me they're going to take the building. When I do, I just go stand in the studio and I hear a still voice say, bring it back here. Bring it back here. My wife, my staff can tell you, if I hadn't have brought it back here, if I hadn't went out there and put that studio so at our fingertips we could control three radio stations, we would not have survived. And we're surviving. We're taking it back. We're overcoming Satan in an area that don't want the gospel. 86% of the people of this county profess to be religious. When they voted in liquor by the drink, it took 76%, I think, to do it. That meant 68%, they tell me, 68% of the Christians that sit on these dead churches in this town, in this county, voted to put liquor in the hands of people. We've got troubles, folks. God's speaking, but they ain't hearing. They're not listening to the voice of God. Sometimes it's a very, very still voice. Genesis tells us the story how Adam and Eve there in the garden. Bible said in verse 8 of chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the Bible tells me that they run and hid from the voice of the Lord because they had disobeyed and been disobedient. We silence that powerful voice of God when we're disobedient. We have to mow our yards. I think about Adam and Eve every time I crank the lawnmower. We have to get the weeds out of our garden. We have to put up with what we put up with. Y'all women have to have the labor of childbirth. You have to have the monthly visitation of all the things you go through because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Curse came on the face of the earth because of the disobedience of the first Adam. Sin took dominion and a curse came. But through the obedience and the righteous act of the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, he has become the perpetuation price paid for sin. So I can go ahead and mow the yard and not get too bent out of shape. I can go ahead and chop a few weeds if I have to. Get me some weed killer and spray them down. I told my wife, I said, if it didn't cost so much money, I'd spray every piece of grass I had. I'd take me a vacation from mowing the rest of the year. But the victory of the Lord, I understand what disobedience brings about. And I've learned to know what obedience brings. So you choose the day. Can you hear me now? You choose to listen to the voice of God. You choose to hear him, to listen to him. Or maybe get in a position to where that you can hear his voice and abide to it. And I want to close. I said a minute ago, I want to close on the righteousness of God. We mentioned it several times in this message. In Isaiah 61, I'd like to have about 30 minutes to preach on the first five verses of that, but we'll move on. The Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. Coming on down through there, time don't permit, and I'll have to move on. But down in verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, and has clothed me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorn herself with her jewels. Today, if you have opened up the door, invited him in, and you have listened to his voice, then you're not facing God in filthy rags. But you are facing God in a garment of salvation and a robe of pure white of the righteousness of God. Can you hear me now? Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that there was a day in an old farmhouse in Christiansburg, Virginia, that you spoke to my heart. And on May the 14th, 1959, I invited you into my heart. And I thank you, God, that I kept my ears on, that I didn't stop listening, but I kept listening to that small, still voice. And today I am clothed in the garments of salvation, and I am dressed in a robe of righteousness that's not of my own works or my own doings, but it's of that which Christ Jesus gave his life that you and I might live. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for the salvation we experience. Thank you for the victory we have. Thank you for the goodness of God. Amen and amen and amen and amen.